In the Gospel of John to our continued study, where we begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 10, John 10, verse 1, the Word of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, his sheep go before them. He goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." This is the word of the living God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the great shepherd. And we pray that in these moments together, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will open our minds to understand and our hearts to receive this word of the good shepherd. And to receive him with thanks, we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we turn to this 10th chapter of John's Gospel, we find in it that Jesus uses the illustration of sheep and a shepherd. He uses this to teach, and we can learn much from sheep and from the shepherds. A sheep is an interesting animal, but by and large, we are told, it is a helpless one. Philip Keller is an author who has written a wonderful book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, and he describes sheep in his book in this way. He says, "Even the fattest, the strongest, and sometimes the healthiest of sheep can be cast and become a casualty." And then he goes on to say, this is how this happens. A heavy fat or a long fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. And it may roll on its side slightly to stretch out and relax. And suddenly the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically, and frequently this makes things only worse. It rolls over even further, and now it has become quite impossible for it to regain its feet. Keller's description is true to life in terms of the sheep, and what that illustrates is simply the fact that sheep need a shepherd. They need 24-hour-a-day care. And that, I think, is why Jesus uses this superb illustration of the sheep and shepherd to demonstrate the care that he has for us. We have such a shepherd. We have a good shepherd who cares for us like a shepherd would care for his sheep. So look with me as we go through this passage, first of all, to observe the relationship of the shepherd to the sheep. Observe this relationship. The thing that stands out in the opening statements of Jesus' illustration is that the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows them. "I'm familiar with them," the shepherd would say. He doesn't lose them because he knows each and every one. Those who write about shepherds in the Middle East talk about shepherds having given each one of their sheep a particular name, perhaps by some of its markings, perhaps by some of its characteristics. I wonder what I would have been called if I was a sheep. I don't know. Maybe someone of you might have been called Fluffy. Maybe you would have been called something else. But each sheep had a name, and the shepherd knew the individual sheep. He knew them, and he prized them because they belonged to him. And Jesus takes this illustration from the life of his people and tells us that like the shepherd and the sheep, he loves his people. He knows them. He has a close personal interest in every child of God. He can say, "I know them affectionately, personally, and eternally." He knows us by name. And the sheep that are known by name know their shepherd. That's the other side of the relationship of the sheep and the shepherd. Not only does he know each of us, but the sheep know the shepherd. The story is told of the shepherd's fold in the ancient Middle East, which would have a wall surrounding it, and it would be called the pen, much like what Jesus describes in this story. Some describe that pen as having a high wall, some with briars and things. The sheep are in the pen, and then there is an opening to the pen, at which point the shepherd lays down to keep the sheep in the pen. And in that ancient Middle Eastern time, there would be numbers of flocks that would be in this large pen at night, protected from wolves and from marauders and even from thieves who would climb over to steal and to destroy. And the sheep were guarded in this pen, and the flocks would be mingled. But in the morning, each of the shepherds would come out, and the gatekeeper would let the shepherd come and call to his sheep. And the sheep that belonged to that shepherd would come, and listening to the voice of the shepherd, follow him. If they belonged to another flock, they wouldn't follow that shepherd. They would wait until their shepherd called them. And when he came, they would follow him. The sheep, Jesus says, know the voice of the shepherd. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do. And the fact is that those who are the sheep of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, follow him because they not only know his voice, but they love it, and they follow him. And if the sheep follow Christ, one author has said, they will ultimately follow him where he has gone, to heaven itself, for that's where our shepherd is. But notice that verses 14 and 15 have a great teaching, which indicates that the knowledge that the shepherd has of us is a staggering thought. Notice he says in verse 14 and 15, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." That's the relationship He knows us, and we know him. But notice verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. As the Father knows me. The staggering thought. How does the Father know the Son? The Father and the Son are one. There is a dramatic intimacy between the Father and the Son within the Trinity. And that knowledge of the Father and the Son extends to every part of the existence between the Father and the Son. And Jesus takes that and says, I know my sheep. His knowledge of us extends to the deepest part of our lives. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. He knows your failures. He knows your hurts. He knows your longings. He knows your desires. The kind of knowledge that the great shepherd of the sheep has of us is thorough and absolutely astounding. And Jesus says, I know my sheep. That is the knowledge that he has of us and the love that cares for us. Now we look at the provision of the shepherd next for the sheep. And that comes to us from this very illustration that Jesus uses at the beginning. He who enters the door, verse 2, is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens. You see the picture here of a great enclosure. The sheep are safe inside. There is a doorkeeper. And there is someone who is protecting the sheep. The image of the door is very prominent in this passage. He says, I am the door. What is that door? Well, the great preacher G. Campbell Morgan tells us that he once was traveling the Atlantic on a steamship. This goes back a few years, obviously. G. Campbell Morgan was a great 19th century preacher. Among the passengers, he noted the great Old Testament scholar Sir George Adam Smith. And so he got time to become acquainted with this great Old Testament scholar. And in one of their discussions, the story came up where Sir George told of his travels to the Middle East. And he came across a shepherd with his sheep. And in conversation with the shepherd, the man showed him the fold, or this enclosure, into which the sheep were led at night. It consisted of four walls with a way in. Sir George said to the shepherd, this is where they go at night? And the shepherd said, yes. And when they are in there, they are perfectly safe. Now, the shepherd was not a Christian man, but he was looking from the Arab shepherd's perspective. And Sir George looked at him and said, what do you mean by the door? And this is what the shepherd said. When the light has gone out and the sheep are all inside, I lie down in that open space and no sheep goes out but has to cross over my body. And no one comes in unless he crosses over my body. I am the door. Now that is the illustration of this text in which Jesus says, I am the door. There's no getting in without going through him. And there's no one who can come in that he does not protect us from them. You are saved by the door, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are safe because he protects and he provides for you. And what does he do to provide for you? Well, as we remember the words of the 23rd Psalm, the great shepherd of the sheep leads us into green pastures. He restores my soul. The great shepherd leads us, as he says in this very passage, into abundant life. Verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. The provision of this shepherd is beyond the illustration and the sheep. It is to illustrate that he provides, and it just touches the surface of what he does for us. And all of his sheep are led into the enjoyment of those things. Now, you don't have to be a brilliant sheep. In fact, I'm not sure that we could say that sheep are brilliant at all. I'm told that sheep are rather unbrilliant. That's why they need a shepherd. I'm told as I've researched this that sheep are so brilliant that they will eat anything in their path, including poisonous weeds. That's why a shepherd comes along to lead them into green pastures. If they eat too many rocks, they could fill up their stomachs and die. So sheep are not necessarily brilliant. They're not necessarily beautiful. And sometimes they're not too energetic. And you don't have to be brilliant, beautiful, and energetic. You just have to be a sheep that follows the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will provide for you and he will give you what is best for you. And notice that he tells us in these verses, he will give eternal life. The incomparable shepherd, the giver of life, is the one who gives what no earthly shepherd can give to his sheep. No possibility exists that the shepherd's, even his death, our shepherd, would endanger the sheep, because he not only had the power to lay down his life, he had the power to take it up again, and he was raised from the dead. Our good and great shepherd lives to continually provide for his sheep. And the provision for his sheep is the eternal life of knowing God, loving God, serving God, and ultimately being with God forever. This is the provision of the shepherd, and he protects us. This passage is full of illustrative material that talks about the thief and the robber. Jesus says, the thief, he seeks to destroy, to rob, and to steal. The thief would come and he would steal one of the sheep. What would he want it for? Dinner. Or perhaps trade it off for some other nefarious purpose. But the good shepherd protects all of his sheep. The robber and the thief will be there, but Jesus says, you're in his care. He is the door. And so we are provided for, we are protected, we can never fall away. The power of Christ to hold his people is the power of God. They will all be saved. None will be lost. None will be cast away. In fact, Jesus goes on in this gospel to say, no one can snatch them from my hand. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. Simply, Jesus cannot fail in his assignment that was given to him by the Father, where in John 6, verse 37, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. He guarantees that all of his elect, given as a gift by the Father, will be protected and preserved, and they will be given eternal life. Now, that guarantee does not depend upon you. Most guarantees, humanly speaking, do. We've talked somewhat about guarantees before. I think that it's almost useless to read those guarantees that come with a product. You buy a new coffee maker. You buy a new appliance, some other appliance. It will always have a guarantee, but there are so many things in it that depend upon you. Did you do something? Oh, sorry, you voided the guarantee. There's nothing that we can do to void the guarantee of the promise that we will be preserved because we are safe in the hands of Jesus. Not only are we safe in the hands of Jesus, the thief and the robber cannot snatch us away. We cannot be taken away. We're safe from the hostile attack of our enemy Satan. He cannot trouble you to the point of your losing your place in the family of God. Trials and tribulations will come. Even death itself cannot separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Nothing can prevent the love of God through the work of the Savior to protect and to preserve you until that glorious day when you'll stand at the mighty throne of God praising him forever. That is the provision of the good shepherd for his sheep. And then briefly, I'd like thirdly to look with you at this passage as it unfolds for us the heart of the shepherd. Here is a heart full of compassion and sacrificial love. In Matthew's gospel, we read that Jesus had compassion as he looked at the multitudes of people. And the scripture unfolds what was going on in his heart. And it says in Matthew's gospel that he looked at them as though they were sheep without a shepherd. You see, Jesus knows that sheep need a shepherd. And when he saw this mass of people, he looked at them with sadness. And his heart was filled with compassion because he recognized that they needed a shepherd. They didn't need a hireling. They needed a shepherd. And in this passage, our text, four times throughout this text, the heart of that shepherd is revealed in these words, "I lay down my life for my sheep." The image that we have here is the image of the shepherd giving his life for his sheep. He gathers them and demonstrates his immense love, but the greatest act of love for the sheep is the laying down of his life for his sheep. That supreme sacrifice was an act of sacrifice for the sheep. When Jesus laid down his life on the cross at Calvary, he was doing it intentionally and by his own will because he was laying down his life for his sheep. Scripture tells us he could have called 10,000 angels there in Gethsemane to elude capture by the soldiers. He could have come down from the cross even when he was taunted, but he remained because Jesus gave himself freely, willingly, upon that cross to die in the place of sinners. That's the heart of the good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the door. Throughout this passage, he has said that, "I am the door." He is the one who calls us by name. He knows us intimately and deeply and offers us a place with him in his eternal sheepfold, safe from all that would attack us. When he laid down his life on the cross at Calvary, he became the door of salvation and the door to abundant life. He said, "I am the way. There is no other way to God but through the door, Jesus Christ." If you've never received him, receive him today as the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. But if you are one of his and you belong to him and you trust him and you love him, God himself wants you to enjoy the benefits of being a member of his flock, knowing that you have a great, wonderful shepherd. That should cause you to worship him in your heart, not only today, but always. Amen. Let us pray.